I'm Bill Littlefield, ahead on Only a Game, a conversation with Jackie Robinson's stunt double. Really. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce, who's in Atlanta this week. Hello, Charlie.
You bet.
Rutgers is looking for a new men's basketball coach, also an assistant coach, also an athletic director. Given the video evidence of fired coach Mike Rice's verbal and physical abuse of his players and the failure of Rice's superiors to fire him last year, should Rutgers also be, as faculty members and politicians are suggesting, looking for a new president?
Probably, because, you know, the fish and the rotting and the stinking from the head and all of that. But I still come back, I think, in my cynical heart to think that the worst problem that Mike Rice had is he didn't win. I mean, I think if Mike Rice had won 25 games a year and made the Sweet 16 every year, we wouldn't be having this discussion, video or no video.
Yeah, maybe.
If you look as long as it took Indiana to get rid of Bob Knight, I mean, that video was grotesque, and yet it took the better part of a year to get rid of him, and he couldn't even win games.
Charlie, I don't know if you were one of the countless folks who couldn't bear to look at the badly broken leg of Louisville guard Kevin Ware during the television broadcast of the NCAA tournament last weekend. Now the New York Times is pointing out that once the sophomore leaves the university, Mr. Ware will be on his own for any continued medical care. Isn't it far past time for that to change?
Tell me again that the "we're giving you a free education so you have to play for free" is an even swap. This is ridiculous, and this is basketball. I mean, as Taylor Branch pointed out in his now seminal Atlantic Monthly piece, the very phrase student-athlete was created to keep the NCAA and the organizing bodies of college sports from having to pay workman's comp. If I were Louisville, I would find a Kentucky sugar daddy who would step up and say, "Kevin Ware, you have no medical bills relating to this injury for the rest of your life," and dare the NCAA to come after them.
Not so very long ago, in fact, about a week ago, Florida Gulf Coast was the big March Madness story. Now the athletic director there has put out a coach wanted sign. I guess we shouldn't have been surprised when Andy Enfield got hired away by USC.
Yeah, and I will make you two predictions. Number one, the NCAA investigation season is only just beginning down in Florida. And number two, Mr. Enfield will fall on his face at Southern Cal.
Louisville knocked off Baylor in the women's tournament, of course. That no doubt led to cheering in Connecticut, losers to Baylor last year. But the Huskies are still going to have to get by Notre Dame and either Louisville or Cal Berkeley to win another title. Do you have a prediction for that side?
Yeah, I think Connecticut's going to win fairly easily. And huge, huge props to the women of Louisville, because that's a gigantic upset. I mean, that's an upset on a par. I can't even think of one where a defending NCAA champion came back and got beat by, you know, and Louisville was seeded pretty highly. But the gap between Baylor and the rest of women's basketball was pretty vast this year. And congratulations to Cal Berkeley for getting there, too. But I think it's Connecticut's tournament to lose.
Mavericks owner Mark Cuban announced this week that he was considering drafting Brittany Griner of Baylor. Griner liked the idea. UConn coach Gino Auriemma, not so much. Was this a case of Mark Cuban just seeking a headline?
Well, Mark Cuban is always seeking a headline, but, I mean, somebody is going to do it sooner or later. The skills of the women are catching up. Brittany Griner is certainly, you know, of the correct size to at least make a run at it. I don't have a problem with this. I don't know why Gino Auriemma is so upset.
Auburn University football is making the news this week due to two reports. One suggests that the school changed grades and paid some players to return for their senior seasons.
Ruh-roh.
And another claims the university covered up some positive tests for synthetic marijuana. One guy who tested positive 7 weeks in a row, which, hey, must have been very useful on the field. Anyway, will Auburn replace Miami as the NCAA violation scandal school du jour?
No, well, I mean, maybe for the moment, because all of this happened during, of course, their national championship run.
Of course.
Why would you spend all that time trying to obtain, like, synthetic marijuana when you can, like, go on a college campus and buy the real stuff?
Well, that's an interesting question.
More to the point, how do you flunk a drug test 7 weeks in a row? How do you flunk it the fifth week in a row?
Well, the great thing is the people who are doing the testing didn't mention to the players that they were flunking the tests. So I guess they figured they were passing.
Okay, that makes sense.
On the second day of the baseball season, we almost got a perfect game. Yu Darvish of the Rangers retired the first 26 Astros he faced on Monday night, and I started wondering if this sort of thing would happen a lot to the Astros this year.
I think they are going to replace the Kansas City Royals as the team you watch for at least three innings, because you never can tell when you're going to see a no-hitter. And can I just say that Yu Darvish, why you being the first name, is my favorite name in all of baseball.
It's a good one. Meanwhile, also in baseball news, Charlie, I heard a rumor that agent Scott Boras is trying to learn how to rap. Why would he do that?
Because he's going to start losing clients, most notably Robinson Cano of the New York Yankees, to Jay-Z's new sports agency operation. And if you're wondering why there's all this, you know, sub rosa informed sources talk about what a bad thing Jay-Z is doing by getting into sports agents, it's because basically it's the other sports agents who are looking at him and saying, oh my God, my clients idolize this guy more than they'll ever idolize me.
Discussions of how to protect hockey players from head injuries have often included the concern that a player could be killed by a blow to the head, and on Sunday that fear became a reality for a player in the top league in Kazakhstan. Dmitry Uchaykin died after sustaining what was termed, quote, a violent charge. Does this, do you think, have implications for the NHL?
I don't know. The NHL is notoriously averse to learning much from what happens to its own players. What happens to some poor fellow in Kazakhstan, I don't think is going to make such an impact on it, but it should, because, I mean, we don't know what the safety, you know, gear being worn in the Kazakh Hockey League was or whatever, but it's a very, very dangerous game, and the primary rule of how not to get injured playing hockey is not to play hockey.
The NFL did not find any violations in questions asked of prospects at the scouting combine in February. You'll recall, I'm sure, that players were allegedly asked about their sexual orientation, which would be against the law. Meanwhile, Brendan Iheanacho says that his support of gay marriage played a role in the Baltimore Ravens' decision to release him. Will the NFL ever get better at dealing with this issue?
No, first of all, I think their internal report is a lot of bourgeois and shouldn't be believed. And second of all, I have no doubt that what happened to Iheanacho is exactly as he said it was, and I have absolutely no doubt that you'll never be able to prove it.
NFL fans will get more for the considerable money they spend on tickets next season. What can they look forward to, or rather look into?
Oh, boy, you're going to get a peek into the locker room, and won't that be exciting?
No, I've been there, and it's not.
It's not. See, that's the thing. I don't know why they just don't give them free Netflix or something very interesting to watch. And I guarantee that this will require now that the New England Patriots will be dressing 40 miles from the stadium before every game.
Where there are
just to be safe.
Charlie, Pope Francis has been invited to view another celebrated Argentinian at work. Do you think His Holiness will take Barcelona up on their offer to watch Lionel Messi from the box seats?
I'm not entirely sure he won't. I've been already pleasantly surprised by this Pope's ability to get out in the world. I just hope he doesn't wear one of those shirts that you're probably wearing right now.
You got it. Champs.
See?
Yeah, Champs 2011. And finally, if you're planning on attending the graduation ceremonies at the New England Institute of Technology on May the 5th, you might want to bring your autograph book. Football Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw will be delivering the commencement address. What do you think he'll say to the graduates at NEIT?
You've stumped me completely. I don't have any idea what Terry Bradshaw would say in a commencement speech. I don't have that kind of imagination.
Well, maybe that's why they asked him. They love surprises over there at New England.
I honestly don't know. I don't have any idea. Maybe he'll talk to them about his glory days with the Steelers.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among many other places. Thank you, Charlie.
Now I have to think about this all day.
This week, we'd like to welcome the listeners of Troy Public Radio in Alabama. We hope you enjoy sports, public radio style.